Our class is about the languages Nuchaanulth and Kwakwala or Likwala. These are two of the Wakashan languages. Today I'll be giving you some background about the Wakashan languages to help contextualize what we're doing here and what some of the connections there are between Kwakwala and Nuchaanulth that you might not have considered or known about before. The map I'm showing you now is a map showing the distribution of indigenous language families in North America at the time of contact. We talked last week about how the language families in the center of the continent, for example, the Algonquian languages, the Dene languages, some of them cover huge areas. And this is this roughly correlates with the availability of food. There is less food in these places. As a result, people had to move all the time to keep getting food. Compare that to the very rich, very culturally diverse Northwest Coast. The Northwest Coast is a name for the region that goes roughly from the Northern California to Southern Alaska along the west coast of North America. Anthropologists and linguists call this the Northwest Coast. And something that's striking about it is how many different cultural groups call the Northwest Coast home, how dense this cultural area is. And this seems to be for several reasons, but mainly because there's lots of food on the coast, and people didn't have to go very far during their lifetimes in order to get enough food to survive. They didn't have to move around as much. There was also plenty of food to support lots of different tribes who spoke many different languages. The close-up on the right shows the Wakashan languages in gold. The Wakashan languages call the West Coast and Northeast Coast of Vancouver Island home, as well as what is now Northwest Washington State and the adjoining BC mainland across from Vancouver Island. If we go from south to north, the southernmost Wakashan group are the Macaws. They're the only ones that are in what's now the United States. North of them are the Pachidots and Ditidots, then the Nuchaanulth tribes or West Coast tribes, then the Kwakokiwak or Kwakwala-speaking tribes. North of them are the Rivers Inlet people, whose native name for themselves is Uwikinuk, then the Heiltsuk, then the Haisla, and the Henaxiala. Why are we talking about these languages together? It's because they have many similarities to each other, so many similarities that linguists think they are genetically related. Now, when we say that languages are genetically related, this means something a little bit different from when we say that people or biological things are genetically related. When we say two languages are genetically related, that means that linguists think they used, at some point in the distant past, they used to be the same language. Over time, people speaking that language moved to different places, and even people who speak the same language, if they live in different places, their languages start to drift apart. If they live apart long enough, their languages eventually become unrecognizably different. This is the case, for example, with English and Russian. English and Russian are genetically related. They are thought to come from the same source language some thousands of years ago, but they've been developing independently for so long that they no longer sound like the same language. Compare that to English and German, which are also genetically related, and the time when they split it was much more recent, say 1 or 2,000 years ago. As a result, English and German are recognizably related. They have a lot of the same words, and there are even German sentences that are understandable in English. This map shows a slightly different view of Wakashan-speaking communities. It lists the seven languages. And I much prefer looking at this kind of map to the previous kind of map. The previous map gives the impression that every culture group fills the entire area filled by one color. In fact, most of that is land where nobody lives. This map, I'll try to give a close-up of it. This map rather shows village sites. This gives a much better idea of where people actually live. You'll see that the west coast of Vancouver Island is the densest, the most densely populated part of Waukesha territory. Those are all those gold dots you see are Nuchanoth Diti Dot and Pachi Dot villages, village sites. Many of them are no longer inhabited. A few of them are. The next biggest culture group after the West Coast people within the Waukeshan peoples are the Kwakwala speaking peoples. You can see the cluster of their villages along the north end of Vancouver Island and the adjoining mainland. The Uwikinuk, Heiltsuk, and Haisla groups are much smaller. The northernmost Waukeshan peoples are the Haisla, and their main village is the village of Kitimat. I think we have some participants here today who have been in some other northern Waukeshan villages like Klemtu or Bella Bella, and maybe they'll have some impressions to share. This map, unfortunately, doesn't show the macaws because it's a Canadian map. So the detail ends at the border. Yeah, we've had a good question about the culture groups on Vancouver Island. Roughly speaking, there are three main culture groups on the island. Those are the West Coast people, the Kwakwaka'wakw people, and the Coast Salish people. So Coast Salish territory runs roughly from Sooke in the southwest, through Victoria and up the east coast of the island until you get to Campbell River. Campbell River and Cape Mudge is where Kwakwaka'wakw territory starts. Cape Mudge and Campbell River are where our Likwala speakers and learners are from, and maybe we can have more discussion about that. Campbell River is an important, it's probably the most important urban center for the East Coast Waukeshan people, and Port Alberni is the most important urban center for the West Coast Waukeshan people. We often treat the Coast Salish people on Vancouver Island as a group, as we call them the Coast Salish, but actually they form two main subgroups. There's the Hulkamitnam people. Those are the people of what are now Nanaimo, Cowichan Bay, Duncan, and Penelakut and the other islands between Vancouver Island and Vancouver. Those are the Hulkamitnam groups, and they speak closely related languages that go all the way up the Fraser River. The groups on the southern part of the island, like Sooke and Sinchathan and Lekwungen, these are Straits Salish. They also speak Salish languages, but they form a group that is less closely related to the Hulkamitnam peoples. I believe Qualicum is Hulkamitnam Coast Salish territory. We just had a question about Comox, and one of our participants was able to add some info to that. I can't add anything to Comox because I'm not a Salishianist. I know some general things about Salish languages, but my specialty is West Coast and Waukeshan. But if you look at this, the first map we looked at, you'll see that beside the small gold area that represents the Waukeshan languages is a significantly bigger peach-colored area that represents the Salishian languages. The Salishian family is quite a bit bigger than the Waukeshan family in the sense that it covers more territory and has more languages. People usually say there are about 23 Salish languages. And I believe Comox and Pentlatch are Coast Salish languages, not part of the Hulkamitnam group, but that's about all I know about them. That's right. The Port Renfrew people are the Pachi Dot people. You can see them down here, right? They're the bottommost Waukeshan group on the southernmost Waukeshan group on Vancouver Island. Next, I would like to give you some examples to try to illustrate the similarities and differences across the Waukeshan family. This is impossible to do with just a few examples, but I've done my best. For the first time now, all four North Waukeshan languages, that is Kwakwala, Uwikela, Heiltsuk, and Haisla, have material up on First Voices. So you can actually listen to all four of these languages now. And I've selected a few similar sentences from the North Wakashan languages to give you an idea of how they're similar and different from each other. I believe the name Canada comes from an Iroquoian language. So the Iroquoian languages are a smaller family spoken around the Great Lakes. And the name Canada comes from the name of a village near what is now Montreal, from what I understand. So we've just compared some sentences in northern and southern Wakashan languages. The ones in the northern languages were variations on "I live at such and such a place." The ones in the southern languages were variations on "I love you." And this starts to convey a sense of how similar the languages within each branch are. But across the branches, they are much less similar. The similarities amongst the north within the northern branch of Wakashin and within the southern branch of Wakashin are recognizable enough that there are origin stories about where those came from. Our elder Julia Lucas tells an interesting story about where some of the Nichanoth dialect differences are said to come from as well. I understand the nuk part in Tlahuala Nukwintlus to mean something like have, like I have love for you. And that actually has a counterpart in West Coast. So you know that the West Coast word for have is unak. So the West Coast suffix for having is nak, the Kwakwala one for having is nuk, and those might very well be related. I'd like to show you a couple of sentences comparing DT-DOT and Kwakwala. I had to carefully select these sentences to find a pair of sentences that are kind of similar. We've seen that usually South Wakashin and North Wakashin are unrecognizable to each other, but here's a case where we see some similarities. So, can I ask one of our Likwala learners to read the Kwakwala sentence? Do you see it? The upshot of these examples that I've just shared with you, comparing North Wakashian languages to each other, South Wakashian languages to each other, and then across the branches, is that within each branch, within the northern branch and within the southern branch, the similarities between the languages are quite obvious. People know that their languages are related and they have stories about it. But the relatedness of the northern languages to the southern languages is not at all obvious, and one has to really dig to find it. I'll say a few words now about why linguists started thinking that the northern and southern Wakashian languages are related, and then I'll end this lecture and we can have our debrief. What I'm showing you now is a report published in 1890 by Franz Boas. Franz Boas was an anthropologist and linguist. Who had a huge effect on the development of both of those disciplines in North America. At the time, he was traveling around North America, interviewing whatever native people he could find who were willing to share their cultures and languages with him, recording it, and he condensed that information in reports like this. This part of the report is a comparison between what that at that time were called the Quaggiles and Nootka languages, which we now call Kwakwala and Nuchanoth. Boas was the first one to suggest that Kwakwala and Nuchanoth might be related, and what we see here are some of the comparisons he made. These notes are written in the alphabet he was using at the time, which was inadequate for representing the sounds of these languages. Much better alphabets were developed over the next 30 or 40 years. This is a clarification and condensation of some of Boas's observations, putting his data into modern alphabets. Some of what Boas said was that the similarity between the two languages, that is, Nuchanoth and Kwakwala, is most clearly brought out in comparing the methods of formation of words. In both languages, only suffixes are used for forming words. He means there are no prefixes in these languages, there are only suffixes. This is true of both Kwakwala and Nuchanoth. The similarity of structure of the two languages is far-reaching. The words which may be referred to the same root are so numerous that the conclusion seems justified that both have sprung from the same stock. Here are some comparisons that Boaz made. Quaquala tutu, nuchanoth tatus. Both mean star. The root su in Quaquala and the word sutwa in nuchanoth both mean you. The root for wind is you in both languages. The usual pronunciation of that in Quaquala is yola, but when that root combines with other endings, it takes the form you, just like in Nuchanoth. One of the most important villages in Nuchanoth territory is Yukwat, which is called Friendly Cove in English. It's where the Moachut people met Captain Cook. The native name Yukwat means that it's a very windy place. Both languages have location suffixes for whether something happens in the house, on the beach, on the ground, on the rocks, or in a vessel. So some of these endings, which most of you will be familiar with, are ith or ith, is or is, us or us, and a or a. An example that some of you were working on, I think, had to do with words for fire and firewood. Do you want to say anything about that? Last week, I shared a few words that are very similar between West Coast and North Wakashan that we think come from the same source. I won't be repeating those today, but we can discuss them during the debrief period if you like, or on another occasion. I want to end by giving the words that the Kwakokiwok and the West Coast people use to refer to each other. The Kwakwala word Kwikwasatzi refers to the West Coast people, Kwikwasatzi. And when I asked Diana to interpret that, she said to her it meant people who live far away, Kwikwasatzi. Nuchanoth people refer to the Kwakwala people as Hinapasat or Kitsukat. Kitsukat seems to be a name, and no one knows where it comes from. But Kitsukat is one word for Kwakwala speaking people, and their language is Ki Kitsukwa, in Nuchanoth, that is, speaking Nuchanoth. Another name that Nuchanoth people use for Kwakokiwok people is Hinapasat. Hinapasat, which means living on the back, because they live on the back of the island, as opposed to the ocean side. Chooch, he'em.